remembering that this is an act of worship, but also an act of obedience. We give because Jesus tells us to. We give because it's an act of our worship. And we give because we partner with people like this couple who they are in Asia. And here's what they're doing. They're going from one village to another village, and they are looking for ways to create relationship. And then when they create that relationship, they have Bible studies and they open up the scriptures, and in their language there, they share with them that Jesus has paid their debt as well. And that's practically where, when you give out of obedience and out of worship, that's where your money's going to help support that. So let's pray for this couple in Asia. Jesus, thank you for what you are doing in the life of this couple and how you are using them to reach one of the least reached people groups in the entire world, the young people. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this couple who have dedicated their life not to be on some big platform somewhere, but literally underground because it's illegal. Jesus, thank you for the way that they show up in the lives of other people looking for where you are already at work. And then they're leaning into that, looking to see if these are people of peace that they can actually share the gospel with because of the work that you're already doing. Jesus, thank you. And God, we are praying. We are praying because people here in the state, this little tiny state of Rhode Island, we are praying for the day when we get to heaven and there are this population, the young people, that they're going to be there because we gave. Because we got behind a couple who said, we'll give our life, we'll go. Jesus, please. We are praying your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus, we pray this in your powerful name. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, my name is Rick. If you don't know, I get to be the lead pastor, and we're jumping right into our teaching. The teaching today, we're continuing this series. It's called Why Jesus Makes Sense. So if you are new to church, if you are new in this whole spiritual journey and you're trying to figure it out, you came at a good time. This is a great time for you to be here. We're glad you're here. If you are joining us in Lincoln or in South County, we are so glad that you are there. If you're just joining us online, thank you. We're glad that you're there. And we hope that when we are finished with this series, that it will make sense, that Jesus makes sense, that the gospel makes sense. And so we are going through this teaching. It's found in Hebrews chapter 3. Take your Bibles. I hope you have your Bible. Whether it's digital, pull it out. Whether it's hard copy, pull it out. Go to Hebrews chapter 3 because I want you to see this. And the big idea today is that Jesus makes sense because he's the only one who can change and guard our inward life. He's the only one that can actually change and guard our inward life or our heart. So to illustrate this, it brought me back to when my dad would tell me to go and pull the weeds. I hated pulling weeds. That was like the worst job ever, right? Because I'd go out there and I'd do just like that. I'd just put my hand out there and I'd grab whatever I could grab and I'd go pull it. And I would break off all the green stuff, you know, that was on the top. And then my dad would come by and be like, son, you're going to have to be out here in like two days because that green stuff is going to come right back because you didn't get the root. And then he would tell me how you got to get underneath the green stuff and get down and get into the root of it and pull the weed out by its roots so that in 2 days it doesn't come back. And isn't that true? See, this is why Jesus makes sense. He's the only one that can get inside of us and change inside of us, because that's what's broken. See, we first have to all admit that we have a brokenness, a sin problem inside of us. And Jesus is the only way. He's the only one who can get at the root of what's inside of us. He's the only one that can bring about that kind of change. And in fact, our sin problem, see, this is acknowledged both in the Old Testament and in the New. In the Old Testament, in Psalms 51, the psalmist David said, "Hey, I was born a sinner." In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul explains it this way, that because Adam passed on to us his sin nature, we have a sin problem. And you know this is true. Because you didn't have to teach your kids, if you're a parent, you didn't have to teach your kids how to share or how not to share, right? You had to teach them how to share. Why? Because we are broken on the inside, we are naturally selfish. And no parent had to teach their kid how to be selfish. It's always mine, right? When they're young, and then you're trying to teach them, hey, don't, it's not, share. Where did that come from? It came from inside. That's the root. And this is what Jesus does. Jesus gets at the root. And he allows change at the most inward part of our being. Many times in the Bible, when you read through that, you'll see this word heart. And it doesn't mean the organ heart that pumps the blood. It's really talking about you, the most inner person of your being. That's what Jesus does. In fact, one time the disciples are like, not washing their hands. Can you believe that? The disciples didn't wash their hands before this religious ceremony. And all of a sudden, the Pharisees are mad. They're arguing. And they're like, what are you? Look at, they went to Jesus complaining. Look at your disciples not washing their hands. And you know what Jesus' response was to that? His response in Mark chapter 7 was this. And then he, meaning Jesus, added, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. What's inside? He says, oh, I'm glad you asked. For from within, out of a person's heart, not the organ heart, but from the person's most inner being, here's what comes. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. He's just, you know, this isn't like the all-in, be-all sin. He's just saying, hey, all our sin comes from an inward problem. And only he's able to take care of that. He says all these vile things come from within, and they are what defile us. But Jesus, he is the one who came to take care of that sin problem. That song that we just sang, that Jesus paid it all. That's what that's about. Here's the way Titus put it. He says, he saved us not because of the righteous things or the good things that we did. Not because we learned how to share. Not because we learned how not to tell a lie. Not because of the righteous things that we have done. But because of his mercy that he washed away our sins. And then watch this, giving us a new birth. See, Jesus is able to transform us from the inside out. He gives us a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit. This is fundamental in following Jesus and understanding that Jesus does this new work and this new beginning in you. Paul put it this way. He says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. You are a new person if you have received Jesus as your Savior. If you have received His payment for your sin problem. You're a new person. That's how we get at. That's how we deal with our sin problem. So, in our text, Hebrews 3, I know that's a lot of setup, but you need to understand that as we jump into the text, because these people already understood that. I'm going to show you how we know that in just a second. But these are Christ followers. They have been following Jesus, and life has not been going good. Life has been getting harder, and they are having doubts. Did I really trust the right religious system, if you will, because they are so familiar with the religious system of the temple worship. That's what they're used to. That's why all this temple language comes up. A lot of Old Testament language comes up in this letter, because these are Jewish believers. who had given their life to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1. Also, see, this is how we know. He's saying, the teacher is saying, brothers and sisters. He's like, we are brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven. I mean, these are people who have placed their faith and trust in the person of Jesus. They're showing up to gather together, to open the scriptures, to study the scriptures together. They have been baptized. You say, how do you know that? Well, because did you know that's the practice of the first century church? Look what in Acts, Peter, when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, Peter gets up and he is like letting it rip. He's telling them about who Jesus is, and he goes on for a really long time, right? A lot longer than my 28 minutes, I'm telling you, so be thankful I'm shorter. But Peter went on for a really long time, but here's what happened. Those who believed what? Believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Believed that he came to pay our sin debt. When they believed, what happened? They were baptized. Baptism is the very next step. After you place your faith and trust in Jesus, your next step for obedience is baptism. It's just clear that's how the early church practiced following Jesus. Jesus himself was baptized, and then he went public. And that's what baptism does. And let me just encourage you, whether you're in Lincoln, South County, or you're right here in this room, next Sunday at 10:30, we're going to have a baptism class. So at 10:30 at the Cranston location, so if you're in Lincoln or South County, drive up here. Yes, I know it's a really far drive, but drive up here. Come to the baptism class at 10:30. And in fact, I get to do that baptism class next week. So Pastor Steve is going to be teaching next week, and so I get to lead this baptism class. I can't wait to be able to do that, and I would love to walk with you through that to help you understand what baptism is all about. And then you can make an informed decision on whether or not you want to be obedient to Jesus and following him. Now, back in our text, look what the verse says. So he's talking to Christ followers, partners. He says, think carefully about this Jesus. Why? Because life was getting so hard, because life was so disappointing, because Jesus was not answering their prayers the way that they were praying them, the way that they thought their prayers should be answered. They thought they shouldn't have this suffering. They thought the oppression that was on them should like somehow disappear, should go away. The teacher is saying, think carefully about this Jesus whom we declare that is God's messengers. Now, some of your translations will use the word apostle here, but what it means is the one sent from God on behalf of God with a message from God. That's all that means. So that's why the NLT translated it just God's messenger, but and high priest. What the teacher is trying to do is to prove to them that no, you placed your faith in the right person. He really is a messenger from God. And remember what he said? He had come to save people from their sins. That was his message. And that he was the high priest. That he's the one who gets to go in and offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. That's who this, think carefully who this Jesus was. And then watch the teacher does. He says, for he was faithful to God. Jesus was faithful to God who appointed him. He's again coming back that Jesus literally came from God, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house. Now, Moses comes up. Why does Moses come up? Because these are Jewish people, and Moses is highly revered among these Jewish temple worshiping people. Because Moses is the one who set all that up for them. And he brings attention to Moses' faithfulness, and here's why. But Jesus deserves far more glory because Jesus is greater. Jesus is much more important. What Jesus came to do far exceeds what Moses. Moses, yes, he was faithful, But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses. Just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. Do you see that? The teacher's trying to bring them back to what we talked about last week. That not only was Jesus fully human, but Jesus is also fully God. We talked about the incarnation of Jesus. Listen, Christ followers, we have to hold on to this truth. Because this is something that the Scripture teaches, even in the Old Testament to the New. This is a foundational truth in theology for Christ followers. That Jesus came fully human and yet fully God. And that is what the teacher here in Hebrews is trying to get across. He says Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. And yes, his work is important. His work was an illustration of the truths that God would reveal later. See, Moses was what they call a foreshadow. Think about this. That when the people were... When did Moses show up on the scene? It was when the people of Israel, the Jewish people, were in bondage in Egypt. Moses shows up, why? To deliver them from their bondage. What did you heard Maggie talk about the chains, the shackles that fell off? That's a symbolic of our sin falling off of us. Jesus came to deliver us out of bondage. Bondage to sin, our sinful nature, that thing that we're born with, that thing that we don't have to learn how to be selfish, that's in all of us. He came to set us free from that. And so Moses was just a foreshadow. Moses was just an illustration of things that were going to come in the person of Jesus. And then what would Moses do? Moses would actually set up a tabernacle that was illustrative of Jesus coming to dwell among us. And that's what John said in John chapter 1, that the Word would become flesh and dwell or tabernacle among us. That's what this is about. And so everything that Moses went through was pointing to that one day a Messiah would come. Moses was faithful, yes, but Jesus, he's far greater because he's the one who actually set us free. His work was an illustration of the truths that God would reveal later. But Christ, here it is, but Christ as the Son is in charge of God's entire house. And he doesn't mean a building here. He definitely doesn't mean some address somewhere. He means you. Because why? Because when you place your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you become the temple. See, this is all New Testament teaching under the covenant, the new covenant. Not the Old Testament covenant. The new covenant is that you now become the temple. He tabernacles, he lives, he dwells among us through his Holy Spirit. And that is allowed because of Jesus. No other God that you can do the research on, no other God does that. No other God can set us free from that sinful inclination that we all have. Only Jesus can do this. And we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Are you discouraged? Christ follower, listen, I know life is hard. And I know that we go through, you know, we have our peaks and we have our valleys. And you may be in a valley right now. But here's what you got to remember, that our hope is still in Christ, even in the bad times. You may be looking, you know, some of you have invested in the stock market and you're looking at that and inflation is going crazy. The stock market is going and you are starting to get down. But our hope is in Christ. Our hope is not in our career. Our hope is not in a relationship. our hope is not if I get, and you fill in the blank. Our hope is in Christ. And that's what he's reminding all of us. Our hope is in Christ, even when we go through the hardest time of our life, when you are faced with the most difficult circumstances, our hope is still in Christ. And again, there is no other God that offers that. This is why Jesus makes sense. And so now what the teacher does, he starts drawing on some of the Old Testament. And what he's going to do now is he's going to start quoting Psalms 95. And starting with verse number 7, that's where he's going to jump in at, in Psalms 95. He says, that is why the Holy Spirit says, and then he quotes Psalms 95 in verse number 7 in Psalms 95, although it's also verse number 7 in Hebrews 3. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden his hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. What did they do? When it got hard for the people of Israel, when they were delivered out of Egypt and they made it through, you know, they got pinned against the Red Sea, what happens? They start complaining. Did you just bring us out here so Pharaoh can come and slaughter us right here? No, God's going to make a way. And God makes a way. They go through and they're like, oh, hooray, hooray. This is amazing. We're going to set up memorials for you. And then, in just days, they forget about all that. And what do? They start complaining. Why? Because life wasn't going the way that they thought it should go. And time and time again, in the book of Exodus, in the Old Testament, what you will find is how the people of Israel complain, and they complain when things don't go their way, when they don't have the food that they want, you know, when they don't have how much they think they need, they complain. One complaint after another. And here, he says, don't harden your hearts. Don't rebel against God. See, when we start complaining, see, this is so easy. This is a trap. So easy for us to where our hearts can get hardened. I don't know, to illustrate this idea, it's not going to set with some of you because some of you don't like what I like. I love my sandwich bread to be so soft, right? I love soft white bread. In fact, Zoe bought this. This isn't the new bread, I can tell you right now. Zoe bought this new bread that's like almost double this size. It's white and it's really soft, right? And I was like going through that loaf of bread this week. And I will not take my sandwich out. I won't take the bread out until I've got my meat out. I've got everything out that I'm going to stick in it. Why? Because I don't want this exposed to the air any longer than it has to be. Why? Because you know what happens when your bread gets exposed to the air. It becomes like boink, boink. It's very hard. It gets crusty. You let it sit out there. The longer it's exposed. In fact, I can feel the bottom right now. It's hardening up in my hands as I speak. Ugh, this isn't going to be good. Our bread gets hard. Now, some of you like hard bread, right? Whenever I go and I order, they're like, what kind of bread do you want? I always say, what's the softest kind of bread you have? Some of you guys like shoe leather for your sandwich. I'm just like, what? You like that? I've gotten some of those sometimes. And you have to like bite down and like jerk it. It's like beef jerky. Why do you like bread like that? I don't understand. But you leave this out on the counter, it's going to get hard. As is exposed to the air, it's going to get hard and crusty. I keep it wrapped up in the plastic as long as I can. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus, he wants to protect our heart. He wants to keep us soft. And when we complain, you know what we're doing? We're exposing. We're just exposing. We're exposing our sinful nature. We're exposing when there is more complaining coming out of you than there is thankfulness. When there is, God, just, I give you praise. When there is, maybe you can't give praise because the circumstance is so bad right now. I get that. I understand. But what you can do is give trust. And so you can say, I'm gonna wrap my piece of bread up in trust so that it doesn't become hard and crusty. Because God wants to work in your heart, and He's got to have a pliable heart. God never forces His way into your life. Never. We have to be willing to receive it. But some of us, some Christ followers, have gotten hardened hearts. Look what he says in the next verse. So he says, be careful, dear brothers and sisters, dear Christ followers in Lincoln, Christ followers in South County, Christ followers right here in Cranston. He says, be careful and make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. Is your heart getting crusty? You're like, I've done this church thing. It's been 15 years. And you know what? My finances aren't any better. My relationships aren't any better. And you could go on and list. And you're almost there. Your heart is becoming hardened. Beware, he says. Watch out. Your heart doesn't get hardened and rebel against God. Because here's what you're going to start believing. After 15 years, you're going to be like, where's the goodness of God in my life? You're going to forget that Jesus paid it all, the core of what it means to be a Christ follower. You're going to forget about that because of what's been happening over the past 5 years. You're going to forget about God's goodness when His grace and His mercy showed up. You're going to forget that His mercy is new every day. You made it to work. You woke up and you can move. The goodness of God. Do you find more complaining coming out? If you do, that's you're on the road to becoming crusty, old bread. Keep it wrapped up. Keep it wrapped up with praise and trust. Trusting that God is working out what only God can do in your heart. And He tells us, you must warn each other every day while it's still today. We've got to warn each other. We've got to tell other people about this. Other Christ followers, that is. This is why small groups are so important. You heard us talk about need to get connected into a smaller group. Why? Because if you just show up here in a row, week after week after week, and never get connected, if you're not in some type of small group, and it doesn't even have to be one that's like connected to our church, we don't care. Just get in a small group with other Christ followers, with somebody where you are connecting and you're able to talk about the Scriptures. You're able to share really what's going on. You're able to share your disappointments, and they can pray and help you to understand, no, God is still good. You can still trust Him. We've said this for a long time and for years now, and we totally stole it from another church, but that is, rows are good, but circles are best. Why? Because you can sit knee to knee, eyeball to eyeball. You get to know what's going on in somebody else's life, and they get to know what's going on in your life. We encourage you, get into a small group. Why? Because this is where this can happen. See, people can see, other people can pinpoint, oh, your heart's getting crusty, getting a little hard there. Have you been praising? Are you trusting? He says, so that none of you will be deceived by sin. Because that's what happens. We're going to be deceived. God's not good. Look at me. Look at my circumstance. Don't get deceived. This is why the very next step on your connection card says this. I have found myself complaining more than praising and trusting. I don't want my heart to become hardened. Pray I will keep my heart in check with Jesus. Will you let us pray for you? And I'm asking you to pray for me in this way. So whether you're on the app and checking that off, or you got the hard copy and you're going to drop them off in the offering boxes on your way out, we are serious about this. We want to pray for you by your name, that you will keep a soft heart before God, and that you won't allow your heart to become hardened and then deceived, thinking that God's not good. Will you let us pray for you? And I'm asking you to pray for me on this one. You may be here, though, and you haven't even started that relationship with God. Like, there is no, your sin nature still is ruling your life because you have never invited Jesus to come in and give you a new regenerated heart or a new beginning. You have not become a new creation in Christ. This is your first next step. And that's why that step says, I need a regenerated heart. I would like to talk with someone about how Jesus gives us a new start. Will you let us reach out to you? Here, we need your name and your phone number. So if this is where you're at, if you're on the app, will you, with your name and your phone number, respond in that way so that we can actually call you? And I'd love to walk with you through what that would mean and help you to understand better. In fact, I want to pray for us right now. So Jesus, I come to you. And God, I pray for that person that's here, whether they're in Lincoln, South County, or if they're right here. Jesus, we are praying that God, that you would create a new heart in that person that needs to give their heart to you, that they need to trust you, that they need to trust that you paid it all. Jesus, please. Move. Only you can do that, Holy Spirit. Move in their heart. And then I pray for every Christ follower, for the ones who are newer to you. But God, I pray for those ones who have been following you for 15, 20, 30 years. And maybe their hearts have become a little hardened towards you. They're going through the motions. Oh, they show up. But Jesus, if they were honest, they know their heart is hardened. They're not listening. They're not being guided by the Holy Spirit. There's a whole lot more of complaining coming out than there is praise and trust. Jesus, I pray for them. God, protect them from being deceived. Protect them, Jesus. Protect me. And don't let me get into that place either. Spirit of God, you make your move. And we were with